Thank you. Thank you. Hey, good morning, and it is a beautiful day to be in the company of all the beautiful moms in the house, right? Once again, let's just honor every mom here this morning. We love you, we cherish you, we appreciate you. So a couple of, probably it's been about a month now, I was in worship, and minding my own business, like normal, just, you know, really just worshiping the Lord. And over, I kept hearing the words, "What do you need? What do you need?" And then the phrase changed. "What do they need?" And it was about the church. It was about the family of God. And then I heard, and when I say I heard, I need you to know I didn't hear an audible voice. A thought came to my mind, but it was just so precious and close. I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. And the Lord said, "Tell the church I'm all that they need. What do you need? Everything you need is hidden in Him." And so today we're going to be talking about hope is here. Hope is here. I want to start with a verse, Proverbs 13, 12. In the NLT it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." So I want to talk about the word deferred first. So that word deferred means to, one of the meanings of it is to be shriveled. So when I read one of the many meetings, when I read that meaning, the word shriveled, I immediately was brought back to a time in my life where I felt shriveled. I felt hopeless. I felt despair. One specifically was when I had a miscarriage, and we had already announced it. Some of you were here that day. We had announced to the congregation that we were going to have baby number 4, and we were just about to leave to go to Bible college in Dallas, Texas at CFNI. So we had announced it to the church. The congregants had prayed over us. We were on our way, right? And then when I went to that first doctor's appointment at 12 weeks, we discovered that the baby was no longer alive or living within me. And so I remember really having questioning and feeling so shriveled in that moment. But Lord, how could this be? Here we are doing what we feel like we're supposed to be doing, but yet on the inside, I feel crushed. I feel discouraged. I feel hopeless. Another time was when we were on the mission field living in Belize. One of the little ones that we brought in died of SIDS a few weeks after we got there. And I remember that experience was so incredibly crushing. And in that moment, that word deferred, shriveled, even just to where you almost can't even move on. I remember experiencing that so deeply. And it felt like it went on for weeks after my miscarriage and this other time on the mission field. And y'all, that was a test like I'd never experienced in my life. Here I had been a children's pastor, you know, worship pastor's wife, all the different things, right? I mean, I had preached the gospel for years to little ones, loved on them well, and here I found myself two different times, one with a baby that I carried, and another time was a baby that was brought to the ministry. Two different situations where I felt completely shattered and shriveled. Well, see, what I noticed about myself when I stayed in that moment, that word in the verse that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. The word sick here also can mean to be diseased. Now, let me talk about that for a second. Not only physically when I was in those moments did I feel weakened and wiped out, heavy and depressed, physically in my body, but emotionally and mentally, I wasn't okay for a little while. And it took me continuing to press into the God of hope, continuing to say, "Lord, I don't understand and I don't get it," for me to hear in those still quiet times, tears rolling down my cheeks, Him say, "Daughter, do you trust me? Do you trust me even though the outcome didn't come about like you expected or hoped? Am I still the God who sees? Am I still the God who cares? Am I still your all in all?" And it was in those moments, y'all, that I went from a place of feeling shriveled, defeated, even sick in some ways. It was a process. It didn't happen overnight, but little by little, the Lord began teaching me and showing me how to get beyond that and how to be healthy. So the word hope in that verse in the New Testament is from the Greek word elpis. It means to anticipate with pleasure an expectation of what is guaranteed. So the word hope is not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's literally having faith in something. I don't see it yet, but I'm hoping for something that I don't see, but with expectation, I hope and believe based on the faithfulness of God, who he says he will be and always will be. I'm hoping based on the holy word of God, which says, y'all, from cover to cover, I'm telling you, if Pastor Jody's not careful, I'm gonna just wanna preach like a whole series. Like, because it was hard to find a stopping place, y'all. We could talk about who he is, all that he is, all the names of God. It would take weeks to cover all that he is from Genesis to Revelations. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Y'all, he is the very breath, or the ruach, which means spirit. He is the wind within my lungs. That's why I stand here before you today. That's it. I'm telling you, treasures of my own life that has gotten me through when I felt shriveled and completely broken and shattered. What I'm telling you today is what has helped me get through. So America ranks number 2 in the 2024 list of countries as in the highest depression. It rates the highest in depression, only second to Ukraine, that is more depressed than we are. Y'all, this is wild. Overall, America is known, or it was at one point, as a godly nation, right? I know that that's ever changing. But as believers, as sons and daughters, we have the light of the world. We know the hope. But often, because we have gotten sickened because of discouragement and hopelessness somewhere along the way, no longer are we radiating the hope of Jesus. How did we get here? Anybody, any science teachers in the house, or science students, listen, and just don't think I'm all that just because I know this one thing about science, because I assure you, my grades did not reflect that I was a brilliant science student. But I remembered one thing, the law of entropy. The law of entropy states that anything left to its own nature, you know, anything left to itself, will start lending towards chaos, disorder, and even disintegration. What do I mean by that? Me just getting up today, getting ready for work, brushing my teeth, doing my hair, hey, good job, right? I can have the best organization every morning. I can get up early, I can work out, I can do all the things. But if Monday through Saturday, I'm not even talking about Sunday for a minute, because we're all here together. If Monday through Saturday, I'm not leaning into the God of hope, if Monday through Saturday, I'm not like, Lord, be the wind in my lungs. I can't breathe today, Lord. I'm so heavy with the cloak of discouragement, God. But you, Lord, be the wind in my lungs. Lord, when I'm feeling so heavy under discouragement, or I'm feeling confused or dismayed about something, this is what I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This is why I can stand here victoriously. And there's other seasons of my life where I felt crushing blows of different things. Y'all, the word says that we're gonna have tests and trials in this life. The bad news is if you don't know the Lord, those of you that may not know the Lord, or you're just starting the walk, we're left to our own devices to figure this out, y'all. This world is hopeless without him. The good news is, if you know the Lord, we are never without hope, never without hope. So for Moses, God revealed himself as I am that I am. What does that even mean? It's what I talked about earlier. Every single thing you have need of, brothers and sisters, he is it. He is it. He is Elroy when we feel unseen by God. In Genesis 16, Hagar felt so alone and so forgotten and even a little rejected, much rejected. But Elroy, the God who sees, he said, I see you, my daughter. Even when you feel like no one understands, even when you feel completely alone, he says, I see you. I see you. The question is, are we more enamored with a God who does? Are we more enamored with who he is? So think about that for a minute. Do we get so caught up on, Lord, I need this prayer answered, I need this, I need that? Are we more caught up with what he does or who he is? So this morning, he's wanting you to know, even how Laura and Lyric and different ones this morning, the common thread this morning has been waymaker, miracle worker. He wants to be that to you in a tangible way. In John, we are reminded by Jesus himself of who he is. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. How do we remain hope-filled in a world that is filled with pain, suffering, chaos, discouragement? Sometimes doesn't it just feel utterly hopeless? I really do understand and I get it and I see it on every side. The first thing, and again, this is coming from my personal experience of life. This isn't a book I read. I need y'all to know that these three things I'm about to share with you, I prayed through this and said, Lord, what has helped me get through seasons of hopelessness? Number one, meditating on the Word of God. We all know we need to read the Word, but many of us don't even know how to meditate on the Word. What do I mean by that? I mean, Monday is coming, y'all. And Mondays, let's be honest, sometimes they're mundane. I mean, I've heard maybe Brady Cannon, I think he's watching. I've heard him go, I love Mondays. And I'm like, I kind of want to throat punch him a little bit. Sorry, that sounds violent. Me and Brady, we're like siblings. It's cool, it's cool. But he's like, I love Mondays. Okay, Monday has never been a favorite day of mine. Thursday, I'm like, woo, woo, woo. Weekend's coming. I don't even know why. What am I going to do? Plant things? What am I doing on the weekend? I don't know. You know, it's like, yay, it's Thursday. And I'm like, this is odd that I'm excited. I'm literally going to go like pull weeds and plant some stuff. But anyway, meditating on the Word looks like a life that is like a continuous flow and cycle. It doesn't end. I'm thinking about the Lord all throughout my day. I'm meditating on His scriptures. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, we can rejoice too. And when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. I'm going to say that again. When I rely on Jesus, the only truth way in the life, when I rely on Jesus, hope in Him, I will never experience disappointment. Will I still have tough days? I sure will. But when my security, my peace of mind, my emotional health relies on Him and Him alone, then I can't fail. Y'all, we can't fail. Even when temptation knocks at the door to say, aren't you this, aren't you that, you should be this, you need to kick that out quickly. Don't let that enter your thoughts and mind. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Slow down. Part of meditating on the Lord is slowing down, stopping the chaos. Y'all, a lot of people, if you know me well, you know that I'm a pretty active and busy person. I can talk really fast. I can move really fast. I can like do things really fast. Anyway, it is a conscious effort to say, okay, radio's going off, TV's going off, phone, good, I left it down there. I was gonna use it as an example. Phone, silent, in the other room with the door shut. Y'all, keep in mind, remember when we used to have the thing with the cord, you know, and you stand there and you're talking to your best friend and you're like a mile from the thing and it's tangled up on every corner and you're like, yes, girl, hey, mom's coming, shh, hey, I'm not supposed to be up this late. Okay. What did we do before those? Put the cell phone up for half of a second. Actually, put it up for 5 minutes. It may change your whole life. 5 minutes, y'all. 5 minutes. Okay. Rant over. Move on. Okay. Let's see here. Number two, involve the Lord in every part of your life. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, that's my thoughts, is stayed on you because he trusts in you. One of my all-time favorite scriptures that has kept me and carried me in all seasons of my life is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Now, that may have said it differently. That's the way I memorized it as a kid. The Lord will show you which path to take. But what do we have to do first, y'all? We have to trust in him in all our ways. That's not just, okay, Lord, I'm praying for a new car or a new house or so-and-so needs healing. No, the Lord says, trust me on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And in all that you do, he will show you which path to take. I love that verse. I'm going to read this exactly from my notes because I want to make sure that I say it correctly. I heard a teaching actually a couple of years ago from Christy McClendon. Whoop, whoop. Any Christy McClendon fans in the house? Okay, there was one and a half, I think. Anyway, powerful teacher of the Lord. She's just a really incredible lady. And then I looked it up too to just further dive into this. The ancient Jews had a saying, and it says, if you find a good rabbi, you should cover yourself in the dust of his feet and drink his words thirstily. Disciples were known for walking behind their rabbi, following him so closely that they would become covered with the dust kicked up from his sandals. And they were expected to follow so closely that they would even be covered by the master's whole way of thinking, living, and acting. Here we are thousands of years later, called to do the same thing. Think about this for a moment. Though we don't walk on dusty roads, most of us don't, most of us walk on paved roads, right? But the Lord still wants us to be leaning in so closely to Jesus that the dust of his heels, when it kicks up, it comes upon us. What do I mean by that? Lean in, son. Lean in, daughter. He wants you so close that you are tucked in him. In Psalm 91, it talks about being covered under the shadow of his mighty wing. Any season of my life where I have felt so deeply down or discouraged, I just have, you know, the Lord gave us an imagination for a reason. I picture myself going under the wing or the arm of a mighty Abba Father and him pulling me close and saying, I got you, daughter. I got you. Jesus wants us to follow him so closely that as if we could see if we could see his sandals walking on a dirt pavement, we would be so close that you could just see and actually experience his dust covering us because we're so close. Daily, Jesus wants intimacy with you. He wants it with me. This is how we remain hope-filled, is walking so closely to the Lord that the dust of his sandals is coming upon us. Lastly, determine to be encouraged. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. I want to pause right there. Y'all, these are commands. This isn't if you feel like it, be encouraged. If you feel like it, don't be afraid. It's a command from the Lord. So we're gonna read it again. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you and he will neither fail you nor abandon you. Other versions say he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's another life verse that has kept me for decades. I came to know the Lord at the early age of 13, and I'm 50 years old. Whoop, whoop, for all the 50-year-olds and plus in the house. All right. But still, 50 years later, do you know that I often remind myself, he will never leave me nor forsake me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. This goes back to that meditating on the word. You have a thought that comes in your mind, it'll never be different. It'll always be the same. This is your lot in life because look, generations before you went through this and so you're gonna go through that. You stop that thought immediately according to the word, cast it down and say in Jesus' name, God is with me, he's for me, and he is with me everywhere I go. He is my hope, he is my anchor, he is the comforter of my soul. So how do we accomplish this? Well, I just shared a lot with you how to accomplish it, but some other ways is a heart of thanksgiving. Y'all, this is hard when you're having a rough day. It's almost like when you stub your toe. My mom and dad are out of town, but I remember I would be so mad at my mom. I was like junior high age, and I would stub my toe and be like, ow, you know, and I'd be like, oh, and she'd be like, say thank you, Jesus, for that toe. And I'm like, what are you talking about? My toe is like bleeding. And she's like, uh-uh, you have a toe to bleed. We're gonna thank the Lord for your toe. Thank him. And I would just be like, kind of crazy. And then, you know, any little injury, we're going to say thank you. We're going to say thank you in that moment. And I remember just thinking, she has lost her mind. I am literally like in pain right here. I mean, it's like hanging on, not really. But, you know, when you just feel like, okay, how about this? You hit your elbow. And why does it, you want to laugh and cry, but especially if you hit, I know, I'm getting off track here. But you know that little sad knot? Like, Lord, what is that for? Like, seriously, because you bump it and you're like, aye, you know, and you're just like, Lord, seriously, I know that's there for a reason, but come on, it keeps getting in the way. In that moment, praise God, you had an elbow to bump. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, we can find thankfulness in everything. You may not have your dream house. You may not have your dream car. You may still be waiting on the promise, but do you have an elbow? If you don't have an elbow, do you have a knee? Do you have a foot? Do you have breath? Everyone nod your head, because if you're in this room, you got breath in your lungs. Y'all, I've just learned, and sometimes I know I can kind of be annoying to some people, because sometimes I'm just like, ooh, this is such a good day. Y'all, if I see a butterfly, the older I get, I'm kind of turning into the bird lady. I love hummingbirds. Like, it's weird. I can't figure it out. I will just watch them. Maybe because on the inside, I'm like, maybe I'm secretly like a, I don't know. Maybe I'm like part hummingbird. I don't know. But I can literally watch them for hours, and I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You can ask Jody. I get giddy. They're like, and then they'll go to feed, you know, and I'm like, ah! They just got like a little mini fight. It's not a fight, y'all. It's okay. They're just being territorial. Get away from my nectar. But watching these hummingbirds, y'all, it sounds weird, and some of y'all have never met me, and you're like, get her off the stage now. But I need to just tell you, y'all, it's in the simple things of life that I've learned to say, whoa, my God is awesome. I've never seen a bird fly that fast. I'm just like, whoa, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I've just learned, you can ask Jody, when I get home at the end of a day, I usually, first trip is to the garden. Now, don't picture like, you know, don't picture like acres of gardens, guys. It's just a, like a 5x5 above ground. Anyway, but I go to the garden, and with my few little things that are blooming, and I just want, again, I'm teaching you, I'll squat down, and I literally just be like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the ability. Lord, thank you for the blessing that I got to put a seed in the ground. I put a plant in the ground, and I don't even know how it's growing stuff. It's kind of awesome. But I literally will take that moment, and I'll just say, Lord, you are good. Like literally that you've given us the ability to garden. You've given us the ability to do things that in my mind are supernatural. Like how? I know I did pay attention to science class, how, whatever, pollination, whatever. Okay, but what I'm saying is pay attention to the details in this world in creation that the Lord, y'all, flowers didn't have to be colorful. They could have all been, think about it, they could have all been gray. Or one color, but think about the beauty of the Lord in all the earth. We have so much to be thankful for. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So much to be thankful for. Another thing is feed on encouragement, not discouragement. Why is it that when we're having a down day, we want somebody to identify with it, so or feel our pain. So we turn that knob on the radio, and we try to find the saddest. I don't care if it's country, just name an artist. And it's just like, I mean, I just thought I was sad, and now they're like, oh, and they're whining and moaning and telling me how terrible their life is. See, this is real. Why do we do that, y'all? You know why? Because the flesh gets some kind of weird comfort in listening to things when I'm down, because it feels like, yep, come on next to me. Sad person number two, sad person number three, number four, number five. And it just feels like weirdness, okay? In that moment, you feel comforted by this strange grief. Make sure if you're struggling with hopelessness, discouragement, or despair, that you put something on, whether it's music, it's even a movie, whatever, that has encouragement to sow into your life. God never intended for his sons and daughters to walk around in despair and hopelessness, y'all. I believe it breaks Abba's heart. He's like, I'm here. I've given you everything. You need provision? I am Jehovah Jireh. You need healing? I'm Jehovah Rapha. You need peace? I am Jehovah Shalom. All that we need, y'all, is hidden in Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what I want everybody to do, if you have anything on your lap, if you would just set it to the side, I'm going to take a few moments and I'm going to read scripture in this place today. The Word of God is living and it's active and it's powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So as I read this, if you feel so comfortable, even as to close your eyes, and I just want you to meditate on the Word of God. Just listen and as I read this over you. This is Romans 8, 31 through 39. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for me, who can ever be against me? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or we're persecuted, or we're hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.